Hi, and welcome to Faith Points, a weekly podcast from Faith Point United Methodist Church. If you'd like to join us for worship on Sunday morning, or just want some more info, visit us on the web at faithpointum.org, or you can find us on Twitter at twitter.com/faithpointum, or you can find us on Facebook. And now, a weekly message from Pastor Chris Bishop.
So this week, I had a chance to celebrate with some of our high school students that we, as the Faith Point community, have invested in, really, for the past few years. It was a track and field banquet, and so we support that not only with meals for coaches and things like that, but with my time through Fellowship of Christian Athletes and for the past number of years, being able to just kind of pour into some of those kids in a powerful way. And one of the stories that I've shared here before about some of those kind of those moments that really stick with you were something that I was telling one of the other coaches about downstairs as we were at Morningside Inn. And then one of our now graduated seniors came up to me, and the first thing that he said was, "Hey, coach, do you remember that time when we ran on the canal?" I said, "Yeah, man." He was like, "That was like the best run of my career." How cool is that, right? And I got a little weepy because, man, the canal is not necessarily an exciting place to run, okay? Like, it is, but we had this time of about 30 minutes or so where the rest of the group kind of dropped off, and we chose to do a longer run that day, and we just talked about life. That there was this investment that had happened, and it made this connection that was, you know, no kind of planning, no, you know, preparation could have made that happen except for time and miles together. And so that was kind of an amazing thing that, number one, that he remembered it, because I loved that run. I remember that run. But he did too. And so as I got to thinking, and then as we were going through the banquet, I got to kind of interact, and I've been interacting for the past 2 years with the guy's cross-country and track coach who won Teacher of the Year here from Urbana Middle School, which is kind of neat, right? But when you see folks that kind of rise to that occasion, and Tim has been doing the work, and he said, "I get phone calls in the middle of the day where I'm teaching that FCPS needs this in 20 minutes right now." Like, I'm like, what do you do? He's like, "I have to, you know, do the things and juggle all the pieces." So I didn't realize, I guess, this year what it took to be that Teacher of the Year and what commitment that made and everything else. But, you know, when you think about folks that you have seen up on those kind of those peaks of the mountain, sometimes you wonder what kind of groundwork, or like that iceberg analogy, you see the tip of the iceberg, but what's below the surface? And so I've been able to spend some time with Tim and realize that, man, he is such the real deal in a way that he makes those hard decisions. He's one that has shifted the culture of this program in a way that we could have done things and placed in all the stats on all the websites could have been exactly the same. And they tell a story, and they tell a pretty good story, but they don't tell the most important story. The most important story are those stories like me running with my buddy Cole, and he goes, "Hey, coach, do you remember that run that we took together?" And so as we were looking at that, and as we were sharing stories, and as Tim then announced that he was going to step down from the track side of things and just focus on the cross-country side of things this year, all I could think of was this weekend's scripture about what we just read together of Paul saying, "I have run the good race, I have fought the good fight," right? "And I'm finishing well." And I can't help but think about the way that the integrity that Tim has and the way that he brought that, and I've gotten to be kind of a part of that. There's this story from 1 Samuel that talks about this little shepherd boy named David. And David is out tending the sheep when the prophet is going to come and anoint the new king. And so David's dad lines up all of his boys, except you can't give them all the boys because somebody's got to tend the sheep, right? And so Samuel the prophet comes and he says, "No, no, no, no." And then they bring David out, who is, you know, beyond belief, like God couldn't ever choose this guy. And the words from Scripture, from 1 Samuel, are, you know, have no regard. This is God speaking to Samuel. Have no regard for his appearance or stature because I haven't selected him, being the rest. It says God doesn't look at things like humans do. Humans see only what is visible in the eyes, but the Lord sees what is in the heart. And I thought this culmination of seeing the way that this program that I've been a part of for the past few years has transformed, I thought, man, like I don't know where Tim is on his faith side of things, but I do know and I have seen that kind of heart that he brings to every single one of the kids that he is entrusted with, whether that be on the track or cross country field, or whether that be in the classroom. When I've toured throughout the school weeks sometimes, and I pop in and see his class and see the way that he was engaging in such powerful ways, I can't help but think, man, that was a pretty good choice for Teacher of the Year, and how awesome is that? And so we shift a little bit then and talk about the ways that today we're finishing up with this series called Live Out Loud, and the ways that I've kind of in my mind now thought about at the beginning of the week, Tim living out loud, or the way that God has called David to live out loud and says to Samuel, I'm not playing by the traditional rules. And so today, as we finish this up, as we find those final days of this servant of God named Paul, we realize that he has traveled now in his life. We've gone through those missionary journeys and seen that he has traveled thousands of miles. He has done God's work when he has been sick. He's been imprisoned. He's been beaten and eventually beheaded for his faith. And at any point, he could say, you know what? I think I'm kind of done here, right? And to be honest, reading some of those stories, I think that I probably would have been like, you know, I'm going to take a pass on this one. But Paul kept living out loud in powerful ways. And so this week, as we enter into what Paul's final years look like, we're also going to be talking a little bit and sharing a little bit of his story so that you can hear echoes of your story there and talking about how we can more fully then live out loud. And so like the scripture that Jillian read for us today, Paul starts to make this journey down from kind of, if we can go to that map there, Aaron, fantastic. So up at the very, very, very top, I know that's small printing, but there's Philippi up at the kind of northwest of us, up very, you know, and he's kind of going to come down, and essentially he said, well, what's the furthest south I could go? And seems like it fits, right? And so Jerusalem would be it seems, all the way down at this corner then. And so that's kind of his, all right, I'm going to start this farewell tour. I know that I have one shot left. I feel like the Holy Spirit is calling me to go down. And the scripture was reading, you know, I feel compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what's going to happen to me there, only knowing that every city, or that the, you know, as I enter the city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardship face me. That sounds like such a good vacation, right? As we enter into summer. I know that this is going to be a long, dangerous journey, and at the end of it, it is going to be nothing but trouble. Man, sign me up, right? To the point that then when he reaches Ephesus, the people are like, Paul, we know that we're not going to see you. And there is this weeping, and there are tears, and there are these urgings for him not to continue on. And I think it would be pretty easy, right, to say, I guess I could just stay here for a little longer. There are people where he had planted these churches, and he knows them, and they found community, and they love him. And then to say, you know, I'm actually just going to keep going, I think is a pretty remarkable thing to do. And as we see this, as we see Paul meeting danger head on, you know, he knows that this is his call to do. He knows that he is going to run towards the calamity, towards the danger, instead of like so many of us would kind of back away from that. And I'm reminded of a story from about 2014 or so, when we realized that there was a man coming in from, I believe, an African country that had contracted Ebola. Do you remember this? Flying into Texas. And there was a Texas hospital there that was going to treat him and take care of him. And there was a nurse by the name of Nina Pham. And she was a nurse that she admitted later on, she knew that she was going to go and probably have to be in charge of caring for this man who has this disease that has Ebola, and there's a pretty high risk to her health. And she remembers her mom saying, you know, you could take a sick day. How easy would that be, right? To know, like, all the stars are aligning. You know where you're working that day. You can see the news reports coming in. And then mom says, you know, you could be sick that day. And her response, though, her response is that I have made a commitment to the people that I have been entrusted to. I made a vow as a nurse to care the best way for the people that I, you know, come in contact with. If not me, then who? How powerful is that, right? And even more powerful that then there were some, I think from what I can tell and from kind of the Monday morning quarterbacking, there was some kind of mismanagement of some of the care. And so she contracted Ebola. And then still having the kind of forethought to say, no, but I'm still going to care. And even if I was presented that again, I would still run towards the calamity when other people would run away from it. I would still do the thing that I needed to do, knowing that this is the commitment that I have made. That's pretty powerful, because she and Paul ran to where they were needed most. And so, like Paul, you know, Paul knew that one of the things that motivated him into action and to living this life out loud was that he was never alone. And so, in so many ways, as we talk about, you know, new babies being born, and as on this Father's Day, as parents going, man, I have no clue what is. I remember the words that when we drove our oldest home from the hospital, my wife was in the back seat because I became chauffeur at that point, right? And so I'm driving and I look in the rearview mirror at Katie, and Katie's just like eyes as wide as she could ever imagine, because when you're at that state and you haven't had sleep, things hit you at a different time. And so it was us driving down Rosemont in Frederick, and she looks at me in the rearview mirror and she goes, "We have no idea what we are doing." Anybody else there, right? And you go, oh, yeah. And then she's like, what do we do now? And I said, I don't know, but Eden hated the car seat. And so I said, probably the first thing we do is get her out of the car seat when we get home, because, man, she is screaming in a color of red like the tablecloth today, right? And so I said, that might be our next thing. But what we didn't realize is that you know, that we always had that community behind us. We always had people on our side. And for Paul, even when he didn't have people, it was this kind of faith that wasn't easily shaken, that would allow him to be shipwrecked and beaten and jailed and all of these other things. He clung to this promise that he wouldn't ever be abandoned or alone. In a similar way, that when we have these stories, and when I remember back, you know, now almost 11 years ago of driving down Rosemont going, I have no idea what's going on. And I see that same kind of wide eye in new parents. I go, don't worry, because we have your back. And so for Paul, this kind of continuing on, he realized that not only was he not alone, but that God had walked this place before him, that God had made this faithful promise, that God had put on flesh and bone and moved into the neighborhood in a way that man, now Jesus walked these same things. There's literally scripture that says he resolutely set his face towards Jerusalem. If that's not encouraging, I don't know what is, to say that Jesus literally has done this before. You're going to a place that isn't safe, but I know that you're not alone, and that there is this promise that you will never be abandoned. That's pretty comforting. And because Paul was always there, always willing, always knowing that God would journey with us even to the point of death and find victory there, Paul was able to take that next faithful step, knowing that I don't know where my foot's going to land. I don't know what might happen here, but I know that my call is to go from Philippi to Jerusalem, and that Jerusalem's not going to be, you know, this wonderful thing, but kind of like the Mario games, that your princess is in another castle. Like, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer, right? But there is something that's going to be coming that is powerful. And so then what we see, like the track team with Coach Snyder and those shifts that have been made, like Nina going into work that day, like so many other people that we know, taking that next faithful step might not be clear, but it's the one thing that we can do. We don't need to know what is at the end of the path, but we need to know what that next step is and then take it. And what is witness to that, what is witness to Paul's faithfulness of just taking the next step, of just taking the next, of going, the jail doors, we talked about how the jail doors were rocked open and the Roman centurion that was there guarding the jail was sure that Paul would have left. Paul's next faithful step sometimes was just to sit there and hang out and remind that guy that all is not lost. And so the way that Acts ends Paul's legacy is not by saying, well, eventually he was arrested by the Roman government and then beheaded. But they say that Paul was, you know, his kind of story ends by preaching and teaching to the end of his days. How cool is that, right? Because we know and what we see is that Paul took that next faithful step. And so when we think about this, when we think about what our next steps are, when we think about, okay, so why does then Paul's final days, why do they matter if we didn't hear them, if we can just read about them, what does that mean for us? I think what we can learn from Paul is, number one, is that we can count on the resurrection, and that allows us then to do the next faithful thing. Every single Easter, in some way, shape, or form, and maybe you guys can help me out with this because you may have heard me at hospital beds and other places, but sometimes I say things like, the worst thing is never the last thing, right? The worst thing is never the last thing. The worst thing for Paul was never the last thing because he was clinging to that promise that even if I die, he wrote, even if I die, it is to gain, and if I live, it is for Christ. Either way, it shakes out in Jerusalem. Either way that the end of my life shakes out, man, what a beautiful ride that's been. And the worst thing is never the last thing. And people ask me sometimes, well, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that the worst thing is never the last thing? And I said, man, there are some times and places where I couldn't get out of bed if I didn't believe that. In fact, I'm not just believing it, I'm counting on it. And that's what gets me to that next step. And so there are times and places where we just have to pause sometimes and realize and remember that we are never alone, that the worst thing is not the last thing, and that we are then called because of that to take that next faithful step. And one of those things is to remember that we have a God who is willing to journey with us through those shadow times, through those valleys, and allow us to come out on the other side, not just alive, but fully alive, knowing that God is there with us day in and day out. And so I'd invite you just to pause for a moment, because sometimes we just don't pause in church. We just go, go, go. But let's just pause for a moment. It's summer. We can slow it down for a second. We can breathe. And sometimes, maybe this is a reaffirmation for you, maybe this is a commitment that you would make for the first time, but if having a God that is there through thick and thin, through the best and the worst, and in particular the worst, is something that you might like or know more about, let's just pray this prayer. You can pray it under your breath, you can pray it in your head with me, but just listen to these words and the courage that they might bring us. So let's close our time together with this prayer. Jesus, I want to trust you as my Savior, maybe for the first time, maybe for the 100th time. Save me from myself, my sin, my fear, and death. Help me to follow you as my Lord. Grant me the courage to face what comes my way and know that you will walk through it with me. In your holy name, I offer this prayer. Amen. Let's stand and sing.